All right. Psalms 107. Let's look at chapter 107, verse 16. And we looked at this Psalms 107 last week, but I just want to kind of get through this and jump over into Psalms 63 immediately after we look at some of these verses. And I'll do my best not to comment. I just wanted to lay them out for groundwork. Verse 16 says, "For he hath broken the gates of brass and cut the bars of iron in sunder. Fools, because of their transgression and because of their iniquities, are afflicted. Their soul abhorreth all manner of meat, and they draw near unto the gates of death. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saveth them out of their distresses. He sent his word." Remember, we got there. "He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions." Thank God for the word of God. Now look at verse 32. He said, "Let them exalt him also in the congregation of the people." Let them exalt him also in the congregation of the people. And we went through that word exalt, if you remember, here a while back. And that's to praise him with everything that you've got within you. "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me." Everything you've got and then some. Amen. And then verse 32 says, "Let them exalt him also in the congregation of the people and praise him in the assembly of the elders. He turneth rivers into..." Watch this. "He turneth rivers into a wilderness and the watering springs into dry ground." Ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you something. If you, Sunday school teacher, bumped up on some of this in class, you get off out there and sin, and I'm telling you, the Bible says there's pleasure in it for a season, and you can get out there, son, and the rivers can flow, and there'll be springs coming up out of the ground, but I'll promise you, you stay out there in that junk long enough, and them rivers is gonna dry up, and you're gonna find yourself in a dry and thirsty land. That's what he's done here. These people's forsook him, they've turned their back on him, they've went by the way of the world, and the Bible said that God let the rivers dry up. That's right. And their oceans became as deserts. It's amazing, isn't it? I thought that was interesting when I seen that. And he turneth rivers into a wilderness and the water springs into dry ground. A fruitful land into barrenness for the wickedness of them that dwell therein. God does not bless wickedness. He turneth the wilderness into standing water and dry ground into water springs. He's going to do the opposite thing for those that trust him. And there he maketh the hungry to dwell, that they may prepare a city for habitation, and sow the fields and plant vineyards, which may yield fruits of increase. He blesseth them also, so that they are multiplied greatly, and suffereth not their cattle to be decreased. Again, they are minished and brought low through oppression, affliction, and sorrow. Isn't that amazing? Boy, it's amazing. It's what he was talking about a while ago in Sunday school, how God lets some things come in our life, and how we're judged according to the Lord to help get us right. He poureth contempt upon princes and causeth them to wander in the wilderness where there is no way. Yet setteth he the poor on high from affliction, and maketh him families like a flock. The righteous shall see it and rejoice. In all iniquity shall stop her mouth. Whoso is wise. Now what's this? Whoso is wise. Are you wise? Well, observe these things. Even they shall understand the loving kindness of the Lord. Amen. It's what a wise man will do. A wise man will observe these things that was just said.
And a wise man will begin to understand the judgment of God. He'll begin to understand the loving kindness of God. A wise man will understand this is happening for my good. That's right. When your well dries up, I'm telling you, friend, if you've got any wisdom about you whatsoever, as a child of God or as a church person, you're to have enough wisdom about you to know that God's let this dry up to draw me closer to Him once again. Now let's go over to Psalm 63. We see these people in Psalms 107 time and time again. That's found in chains of affliction. They're in a dry and desert place. They're out in the wilderness. I mean, man, they struggling to get along. I want you to look at Psalms chapter number 63. Look at the, right under Psalm 63, I want you to look at the heading of this chapter. Somebody tell me in your Bible what your heading says.
The Psalm of David when he was in the wilderness of Judah.
Psalm of David, when he was where? He was in the wilderness. Ain't that something? Here's the man after God's own heart, and we just got done reading story after story or instant after instant where people was put into a wilderness place because of their rebellion, because of their wickedness, because of the unconfessed, unrepented sins in their life. And we flip over to Psalms chapter number 63 and we can see the man after God's own heart in a wilderness place. Isn't that amazing? That God would let that man, David, the sweet psalmist, go through this. Listen to what he said in Psalm 63. He said, "Oh God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee." Why does God let us go in these wilderness places? Why in the world does God let, hey listen man, I thought God loved me. Why am I hurting? I thought God loved me. Why am I struggling? I thought God hurt me. Why is it so hard? I thought God was a loving God. That's what he said over Psalms 107. Even the wise will see this and understand the loving kindness of God. Even the hard times, the bumps, the rocks, the mountainous terrain, all the wilderness, all them hard places in our life, God has ordained those places. Why? So that he might draw us closer to him. And David is here in Psalms chapter 63 in a wilderness place, and he's there for one reason alone, so that you and I can see how to draw nigh unto God, even in a wilderness place, even in a place where we're strangers, even in a place where we're hated, even in a place where we're cast out, we can find a refuge and draw nigh unto God. And he's going to show us here the steps to draw nigh, draw steps of drawing nigh unto God. Number one is in verse number one. I believe that God's included this passage so you and I can see a living example of a man that's separated from God. You understand that being in the wilderness is a place of separation. And David was separated in this Psalms chapter 63. He was separated from the presence of God. He was a boy, a fella as a young boy. Man, he's done the will of God. He's obeyed God. But here he finds himself in a place where he's not in church. The word of God ain't being proclaimed. The presence of God is nowhere to be found. I mean, it's a wilderness place. It's a hard place. It's a place of separation between him and God. And yet David finds himself here. I believe God's put this in the Bible so that you and I can see a living example of a man that's separated from God. We can also see what it takes for a man to get things right and to be able to draw nigh back to God. Verse number one, David started out with a very simple and profound truth. He said, "Oh God, thou art my God." You know, one of the first things you'll ever do to get to God, you're going to have to confess and come to the conclusion that he is God. You're going to have to recognize him for who he is. Hebrews 11:6 said, "Without faith it's impossible to please God, but he that cometh to God must first believe that he is, and that God is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." I'm so glad, thank God, even in a wilderness place, here's the man after God's own heart that said, "Oh God, I recognize who you are, and of a truth it is, thou art God." Amen. Thou art God. And not just God, not just any God, but you're my God. Amen. You know what I believe David was saying? Lord, at this point in time, I'm out here in this wilderness. I'm out here. I'm separated. There's something, God, between me and you. But I want you to know, Lord, that I'm paying my old hide up. You're the one that's on the throne of my life. You're first place in my heart. God, you're my God. There's no other gods in my life before you. Lord, it's between me and you now. And you're my God. And Lord, I've got everything out of the way. You know what I believe we're going to have to do if we ever do get to God? Get everything out of the way. Amen. I believe that's the pattern that David's sitting here. First of all, he recognized who God was. That God is God. Then he recognized that everything had to be removed. What did James say, ladies and gentlemen? James said that if you'll draw nigh unto God, draw nigh is what he said, draw nigh unto God, and God will draw nigh unto you. You know what I believe David's trying to do here in this wilderness place? I believe he's trying to draw nigh to God. You know, one of the best things to do to draw nigh to God is to recognize who he is and to get all the junk out of your life. Everything that God's ever brought up to you. Everything that God's ever revealed or exposed in your life. I believe we need to get that junk out. If anything's taking the place of God, if anything's taking the place of your Bible reading, if anything's taking the place of your prayer closet, if your prayer closet is growing cobwebs, I'm telling you, friend, you've got other gods in your life. You'll never draw nigh to God with cobwebs in the closet. You'll never draw nigh to God with other things on the throne of your heart. Miss Stephanie, sometimes it seems the most important thing in this world is for us to make another dollar to pay another bill. But I'm telling you, friend, whether we make another dollar or not, ever pay another bill, the one thing that is needful in this hour is that we draw nigh to God. We get a hold of God. Telling you it'd be better for our families to live in a cardboard box with the divine presence of a holy God than to live in a mansion in the White House and never meet God and never know God with all the money in the world and no bills to lack. Money there we have. Lord God, I pray that you'd help us. God, he said, oh God, thou art my God. You know what I believe David's doing here? I believe he just took a baby step. You understand that? Here's what God's trying to teach us and show us in these scriptures. That in order for you to draw nigh to God, God said the first step is up to you. The first move is up to you. The ball is in your corner. The first things must be done first. And God said, here's what I want you to do. I want you to take the first step towards me. David said, in a baby step, oh God, in this wilderness, ladies and gentlemen, I want you to understand that David was in a terrible place. He was in a place of isolation. He was in a place of desertion. He was in a place where he didn't have any friends. He didn't have Facebook. He didn't have social media. He didn't have any followers. He didn't have any likes. He didn't have anything. Friend, he was out there in an old cave somewhere. Found himself separated from society and from God. And he began to cry out to God. Took a little baby step and said, oh God. But you know what I believe? I believe in the effort. Whether David took a physical step or he took a step in his heart. Friend, I'm telling you, I believe people get born again before they ever take the first step out of a seed. I believe when they take that step in their heart and draw nigh to God, if they died before step number two, that'd mean God, hallelujah, on the other side. Because God looked at the step in their heart and said, they were coming to me. I'm going to meet up with them now. That's what he'll do. But according to the Baptist, we gotta make it on down here, pray a little old prayer and make a little speech and, Lord God, first thing we gotta do is acknowledge that God is God. First thing David said, we're gonna have to do acknowledge who God is. And God said, listen friend, these people, and I don't want to get off on this, but these people that is in churches all over the America today, all over the world. And they're worshiping something, Miss Stephanie. And some of them's worshiping Buddha, and some of them's worshiping Muhammad, and some of them's up there dealing with Allah, and just every other little god under the sun. But David wasn't calling on Buddha, and he wasn't calling on Muhammad.
He was calling on the God of Genesis 1-1. Amen. He was calling on the God that made man in his image. He was calling on the God, thank God, that called light out of darkness and hung the sun and moon and stars out of the space. He's the one, thank God, that put the mountains in their place. David said, that's my God. Amen. That's my God.
Recognize who he is. Acknowledge him for being God. Let me tell you something about God. God's a jealous God. You'll never draw nigh to him with any other gods in your life. No, friend. He said, thou shalt have no other gods before me. I'm telling you, if you're ever going to draw nigh to him, you're ever going to get to where God is, it's going to have to be God sitting on the throne of your heart. He's going to have to be the desire of your heart. He's going to have to be the delight of your heart. He's going to have to be everything of the utmost importance in your life. You're not going to get to him. He's a jealous God. Then he said, not just that, he said, oh, God, thou art my God, early will I seek thee. Early. He didn't mean I was going to get up at 4 o'clock in the morning and seek him. He might have, but that ain't what early means here. He's not talking about a specific time of the day, but here's what he's talking about. He said, I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to be speedily heading towards God. I'm going to quickly move towards God. The very instant that I realize something is wrong in my life, I want to get that junk right and move back toward God. He said, I'm not going to let sin linger in my heart. I'm not going to let sin linger in my life. I'm not going to dwell in that place very long. I tell you, when something's wrong in my life, what I want to do, I want to get to God as fast as I can. I want to confess that junk. I want to move away from it. And I want to get to God as early as I possibly can. Get that junk out of my life early while I seek him. David's saying, I'm going to search him quick. I'm going to get after God as soon as I can. And say something in my life, friend, listen to me. If there's something in your life, don't put it off. Don't wait till tomorrow to get it right. Don't wait till this afternoon to get it right. If God's brought something up in you, I'm telling you, you ought to take time right then and there, whether you have to bow your head or not, but take time to get with God and to get that thing right with God and seek him early while God may be found. You say, what are you talking about? You understand if you him all around with God, when he pricks your heart, God may not be there tomorrow. God may not be there this afternoon. God may not wait for your ride home. Hey, listen, friend, if God, I'm not saying he is or he ain't, but I'm telling you, it's a chance I'm not willing to take. If there's something in your life and God brings it to light while you're riding down the road, you might want to pull your car over right then and there when God's dealing with you and take care of that business, because there'll be a special grace for that need when God's dealing with you. Boy, I'm preaching this because I know the other side of it. He said, I'm not going to linger. David said, I'm not going to linger here in my condition. I don't want to be in this wilderness place no more than I absolutely have to be. I need to get to God, and I need to get to God as quick as I can. Listen to me, church. I don't care if you're saved or lost. If God deals with you, I don't care what he deals with you about. But if he does, you better not play around with God. You better not linger. You know how many people, Zach, I've seen linger around with God. You know how many people I've seen play church. You know how many people I've seen go through their formalism and their little form of godliness and their little pretend make-believe Jesus thing. Mistake me, I've seen their lives spiral down and down and down and down. Sit around and play with God. I'm going to tell you something, friend. It ain't time to go out and eat when God's a dealing with you. It ain't time to go outside and play when God's a dealing with you. It ain't time to do the dishes when God's a dealing with you. It ain't time to clean the house or build the house. I'm telling you, when God deals with a person, that's when a person needs to go get with God and seek God as early as they can. Don't put God off. I believe as soon as you're conscious of what God's dealt with you, listen, as soon as you're conscious of what God has dealt with you over, I believe after that God's no longer obligated to do a stinking thing. That's right. You can be stuck with that, friend. You listen to me?
I'm telling you, God will bring that stuff up and He'll reveal it to you. I'm telling you, if we don't do the right thing, if we don't seek God early, if we don't turn to Him, if we don't confess it, if we don't repent of it, I'm telling you, God never has to do anything. God never does have to grant repentance. He never does have to give us that place. He never does have to bring it up again. He can let you live in that wilderness for the rest of your life, and you'll be like the children of Israel, and you can die in that mess. You can die there. God will let it happen. Why? Because you didn't seek Him early when He brought it to light. That's right, friend. God's nothing to be taken lightly or just put God on your time schedule. God's not running on our time.
I do believe that God gives that grace for that very hour that He deals with a person. Then David said, "My soul thirsteth for thee in a dry and thirsty land." Can you see that? Remember over in Psalms 107 where he said, "I'm going to let your rivers dry up." David's here. He said, "My soul thirsteth for thee." How many of you have ever went to bed and laid there and it dawned on you that you're thirsty? I went to bed before, man, and I was just dog tired and got there in the bed and just realized, man, I'm so thirsty. Maybe I was busy doing things. By the time I got into bed, I hadn't even thought much about it, but I laid down there and I realized, man, I'm thirsty. I'm laying here and I'm thirsty. There's been many a times that I was just too busy and didn't even much think about it. But once I sat down to eat, it seemed like I could drink a river. I'm telling you, man, there's been times, Miss Debbie, where I've been out there working, I didn't even think about it, my mind was on the job, and you can go sit down in a restaurant and get you a good old barbecue sandwich or whatever it is that you like. I'm telling you, man, they throw that sweet tea on the table, and lo and behold, man, you start drinking that tea, and you drink another cup, and that girl just keeps coming. Next thing you know, you're full of tea, and you've done drunk so much, you can't hardly stand the thought about eating. You say, "Well, I'm talking about, man, being thirsty, being thirsty, being thirsty." Hey, wanting that thirst quenched. That's what David said here. He said, my soul is thirsty. Man, there's nothing in this world that'll quench that thirst quite like water. You've heard it probably all your life, but I'm telling you, nothing can take the place of that water. I tell you, when there's a dying, thirsty soul, there's nothing in this world that can take the place of God's water. You understand? That's what he's talking about, Zach. That's what that water is all through the Word. It is the Word. David said, "I'm in a place, ladies and gentlemen, where this Word ain't. And man, I've got a thirst for it. I'm telling you, I'm parched. I'm dried up. I ain't got the Word flowing in me. I ain't got the Word flowing through me. And man, I've got a desire. I've got a thirst. I need the Word of God," David said. "I need it." "My soul thirsteth for thee." He said, my flesh longeth for thee. A dry and thirsty land where no water is." Amen. You know how many times I've sat in churches, Miss Stephanie, as a preacher. Listen to me. I've sat in church many a times as a preacher. I looked across the congregation. You know how many times I've looked out in the congregation and seen people dying of spiritual dehydration? People dying, friend. People dying from spiritual dehydration. Not getting that thirst, not quenched, not getting any word. I'm telling you, friend, I see people fainting. You know why people faint? You know why so many people fall out? Because they ain't getting enough fluids in their body. You understand? They ain't getting enough water, ladies and gentlemen. Dear God, we need that blessed book. David said, "I'm in a place where there is no water, where there is no word." He said, "There's a thirst." And you know what you're going to have to do before you ever draw nigh to God? You're going to have to desire that word. You're going to have to want that word. I'm telling you, friend, God is not going to overimpose. He's not going to push himself on you. If there's not a desire for God, God's not going to override your will. But I'm telling you, if you ever draw nigh to him, there must be a desire for God. Right. Must be a desire for him. A thirsting for God.
Oh, listen, friend. I'm telling you, when a man gets thirsty, are you listening? When a man gets good and thirsty, he'll go to the end of this world to find some kind of a source to quench that thirst. I've sat and watched the Bear Grylls and all those people that's out surviving in the things that they go through. They find corrupt, messed up, polluted, dirty water, and the extent that those men go through, and how down and tried and weak they get without water. But man, they go through those problems. Process of cleaning that water, and it gives them a refreshment to get back on their way. I'm just trying to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, if you ever get to that place of desire, that real thirst, where nothing's going to stand in the way, God, I've got to have you or I'm going to die. I've got to get to God. Nothing else is going to satisfy. Nothing else will work. Nothing else will help me. I need the Word of God. Preacher, don't you compromise. Mom, don't you compromise. Daddy, don't you compromise. Sunday school teacher, don't compromise. I need the Word of God. If I'm going to ever get to Him, it's going to be through the Word of God. I have to come through that Word. Spiritual dehydration. You know what? They can be a well springing up in here, and there still be people sitting by the well dying from dehydration. Isn't that amazing? You gotta want it yourself. Your daddy can't want it for you. Your brother can't want it for you. Your sister can't want it for you. You've gotta want it for yourself. So preacher, how do I want? I'm trying to tell you how to want it. Trying to tell you how to draw nigh to God. I'm telling you, friend, you get in that blessed book right there. If you'll start seeing, listen, you say, why don't I see it? Why don't I understand it? Because you're a fool. Are you listening? The last verse in Psalms 107 said, the wise shall see it. The wise shall see it, and even they shall understand the loving kindness of the Lord. You know why people can't see it? You know why they can't understand it? Besides, because they're fools. You know what that tells me? Oh, God, I need to crawl on somewhere and confess to God that I'm a fool. And I'm blind and wretched, and I need God's eyes saved. I need to be able to see my very need. Lord, where I draw this water from? I'm telling you, friend, God wants us to have it. God wants us, He encouraged us to draw nigh to Him, you understand? He didn't say that because He's trying to trick us. God's not trying to say that to be cruel or mean so that He can tempt us and not let us nigh unto Him. I'm telling you, He wants us to draw nigh to Him. He wants us to come clean and realize where we are. I'm telling you, when you get honest with God, listen to me. When you get honest with God, God will get honest with you. He'll get honest with you. If you'll get honest with Him, friend, and quit playing religion or whatever it is, I'm telling you, God will get honest. Say, what does that mean? God will start opening your eyes. God will begin to let you see. God will begin to reveal things to you. God will begin to show you. And when He does, friend, I'm telling you, you can begin to desire Him and to desire Him even more than what you ever dreamed. You know how you're going to get closer to God or draw closer to Him? Listen to me, either saved or lost. I don't care whether you're saved or lost. Lost people need to draw close to God. You'll never get saved without drawing nigh to Him. Believe that for a second. I believe, Miss Holly, you're going to have to thirst for Him. I believe you're ever going to get to God, there's going to have to be a thirst. That's right, friend. Listen to what the Bible says in Matthew chapter 5 verse 6. Is blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness. What's God going to do? The Bible says they shall be filled. Is that so or not? Did God lie about it? God didn't lie. God can't lie. I'm telling you, the Bible says they that hunger and thirst after righteousness shall be filled. God wants to fill you with His righteousness. What's this? Jesus was made sin for you and I. On the cross. And there He hanged guilty before the Father. Boy, I even hate to say it sometimes, Miss Holly, but when Jesus was made sin for us, He became every sodomite there ever has and ever will be on that cross. I don't even like to think about it. But God became every drunk
that's ever smelt a liquor bottle.
God become every prostitute that's ever sold her body on a street.
God on that cross become every liar that ever told a white lie or even a fib. God became that.
God became a thief on that cross, Miss Stephanie. Every time somebody's took something from you and left you holding the bag, God became that thief for that person. It's amazing, isn't it?
You know what God became? You know what Jesus was on that cross? Listen to me real good. Jesus entered into a wilderness place. Wilderness place.
Jesus came into a place where there was a dry and thirsty land, Miss Stephanie. No water was.
He came in a place where there was a separation between Him and God the Father. You understand that wilderness place?
There Jesus was. Jesus Christ Himself had entered into this wilderness place. Amazing.
Talking about being thirsty. Well, God gave me this, you hear me? God gave me this mic and it helped me so good. It may not be anything for y'all, but just helped me and it saved me so good. I just wanted to shout in my study. You see, Jesus, a sinner on that cross. He was made sin for us who knew no sin. There he was in that wilderness place, ladies and gentlemen. Listen to what the Bible said. The Bible teaches us that he was separated from God the Father. And the Bible teaches us that that head was torn off of that little bird. That's what the Godhead was. They took that Godhead and ripped it apart. And there Jesus was on that cross, separated from God. Separated from God. Nobody was out there proclaiming truth. Nobody was out there giving the water away. Nobody was doing it. Everybody was a mocking. Everybody was a cheering. Everybody was a cussing. They was railing on him and making fun of him. Listen to what Jesus said. You think maybe the soldiers misunderstood him? You think maybe the soldiers misunderstood Jesus as he hung on that cross, separated from his Father? You think maybe when he was made sin for us and there was no word of God, no light, no glory, no presence of God, God had departed. He was gone and darkness was moved in. You think maybe them soldiers misunderstood it when Jesus said, I thirst. Oh God, I'm here and my Father's somewhere else and I'm thirsty. I've been separated from Him. This old sin has caused the separation between me and my Father. I'm in a dry and desert place. I'm in this old wilderness. I can just only draw nigh to Him. I'm telling you, I believe He began to cry out to His Father and say, Father, I'm thirsty for You. Believe Jesus Christ Himself realized when you get away from God, one of the first steps back is to get thirsty.
Just wonder how thirsty you are today for God. I mean, friend, we look at Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ Himself, when separated from the Father, became thirsty. I don't believe I'm taking that out of context. I just believe the Lord showed it to me in a different way. Jesus became thirsty on that cross. And I believe His thirst was a spiritual thirst as well as it could have been a physical thirst. But I believe He desired to be back in fellowship with His Father. That's right. I believe on that cross, while Jesus was nailed to that cross, He couldn't take a literal step or a baby step or even crawl toward God. But in his heart, he recognized the distance between him and his Father. And he began to cry out, say, Father, I thirst. I want that fellowship. I long to be with you, God. I need that word. I need that word. And this is what he said. I would have fainted had it not been for the word. Huh? What about that? I believe God reassured him. I believe the Father said, Son, I'll quench that thirst. I believe he began to give him them scriptures. And Jesus said, thank God, I can carry on now because of that word. He said, I can say it because of the word has spoken it. Amen. Then he said, my flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. I could think of no more of a sad place to be on earth than to be in the place where no water is. Are you listening?
I could think of no sadder place to be on planet Earth, Zach, than to be in a place where no water is. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, I got up and walked out of a church one time in my life because of some situations and things that were wrong. And I began to go from this church to that church. And there was times when I'd walk in there and that little old Baptist preacher would have his little gown on. And I mean, man, they had the format laid out. Everything was just perfect. The schedule was just to a T. I'm telling you, man, they dotted all the I's and crossed all the T's. They sung just beautifully in the choir. And I'd sit back there, Mom, and I'd weep my eyeballs out. And no doubt some of them old boys, I thought, man, this is blessing him. But Miss Holly, I was sitting there weeping because I was in a place where no one was. And you're traveling across this land, across the state of North Carolina. There's a many of people got Bibles open this morning, but I don't know what the name of God it is they're preaching. There's still people sitting around in them places that's drying up and dying on God. They ain't getting the water of the Word. They're getting some kind of formalism, some kind of tradition, some kind of religion, and they're drying up and going to hell. It breaks my heart to see, bud, one of the saddest things America's ever done is produce churches without water. I say to the world, maybe it was the devil. There's folks that sit on church pews week in and week out and still going to die in the wilderness. Can you believe that? There's people that go to church every week that are going to die in the wilderness. You don't think them boys had to... You don't think them old boys had services over there in the wilderness? You don't think God showed up over there in that tabernacle? Sure, the glory of God dwelt in that place. That most holy place was eat up with God in His presence. And yet people dying, and I believe dying and going to hell, where God was nearby. That's right. You have to understand that here's a man that was raised, talking about David. He was raised by a daddy that loved him. He was raised by a daddy that loved God. I believe they had church. Oh, I know they did, Miss Stephanie. I know they went to church. Amen. All because of David's testimony. Listen to me. David's testimony of the sanctuary. David said, I was glad when they said unto me, I'm telling you, friend, David, when he was even in this place, he talked about reminiscing, going back in his mind to being in the sanctuary of the Lord. I believe he was raised right. Sure do. He was raised by a daddy, at least I know, that loved him, that loved God. And he had water from the time he was born, but he finds himself in a place where he's not receiving the word of God. And I'll tell you what he does, he hates it. If you ever get in that place, you'll probably hate it. If you don't hate it, you got some serious issues, buddy. I promise you that. I'll give you verse number 2 and we'll take us a break. In verse number 2, David said, let me say that again. If you can be in the midst of the Word of God, if you can lose that water of that Word, if you can lose the water of that, if you have no desire for it, you're in worse a place than you ever dreamed of. That's right. David said this in verse number 2. He said, to see thy power. Is that something? You want to see the power of God. You want to know how you're going to ever draw an eye to God? You want to get around the power of God. It takes the power of God anyhow. You can't do it in the energy of your flesh. It's going to take the presence, the power of God Almighty to ever get you to Him. I could probably twist your arm and tell you a couple sad stories and probably give you a few goosebumps. And I don't know if I could or not. I'm not good enough at that kind of stuff. I'm not much of an entertainer, not much of a storyteller. But I know there's preachers that can probably make you cry hard enough to make you, you know, emotionally take a step to God. But here's what David said. David said, I'm not looking for a tornado. I'm not looking for a typhoon. He realized that he's in a place that he cannot get himself out of. He couldn't get out of here. And he needs the delivering power of God Almighty to show up. He didn't need to see some kind of a miraculous wind blowing. No, friend, he needed the divine deliverance of God Almighty to come to where he was at. If we ever do get to God, we're going to have the power of God. That's all I'm saying. I think old Dave at this point in time, listen, he said, to see thy power. David said, I want to see thy power. You know what I think, Miss Stephanie? I think apparently old David must have heard about Moses. Amen. I think he must have heard about them children of Israel living down there and in bondage for 400 years. And I think he must have heard about old Moses raising up and leading them people up there to the Red Sea. And I think David understood very clearly that them people stood at the Red Sea and God took it and split that thing wide open and brought the children of Israel through on dry ground. I believe he understood that. I believe that he knew this old boy by the name of Joseph that got sold into slavery and went down there in Egypt, got done wrong about every which way a man could be done wrong. But I'm telling you, old David seen God raise that man up. And he believed the testimony of the word of God. Here David is in this same kind of place. Yeah, there may not have bars on it, and there may not be an ocean in front of him, but he was in a desert place, a wilderness place. And I believe David said, God, I need to see you open up that Red Sea. God, I need to see you set another man up on the throne. God, take him out of prison. God, take him out of the dungeon. Take him out of the wilderness. I need to see God move. I'm telling you, there's nothing that can do this like God. There's none like him. He's the greatest there ever was and ever will be. And if God will only breathe on this, if God will move on this, if God will help, I know, thank God, I can get what I need from him. What he did for others, he can do for me. That's right. I believe he's sitting here in this wilderness and he's looking for God to manifest his power and get him out of this stinking wilderness place. I've been in some pretty tight spots myself in my life. That's right. I'm not complaining. I can't scratch the surface the most. But I've been in some pretty tight spots in my own life. And I can remember looking back at what God done in my past, Eric. And I'm telling you, when I was in the nasty now, what God had done in my past helped me in the situation I was in. I think many, many times, ladies and gentlemen, if God's done something for you during the week, I'm telling you, I think you need to come to the house of God, and I believe you need to testify of it. I believe you need to tell it, even if you have to interrupt the big mouth preacher and say, preacher, I got a praise I want to give unto the Lord. Man, I was down there at the house this week, or I was on the job this week, or I was riding down the road. Preacher, I was in a desert place. Preacher, I stood before a Red Sea this week, and God brought me through. You know what helps me, Zach? Many times in my life when I get in a desert place, many times when I get in a place, Miss Tiffany, of hardships and places of affliction, I'm telling you, things get on me. Some of these trials in my life, Miss Holly, it may be your testimony that helps me. What are you talking about, preacher? The Bible says that iron sharpeneth iron. Instead, I'm not always the sharpest knife in the drawer, and very rarely I am, unless I'm hanging out with some of Jerry's kids. And then still not too sharp. Every once in a while I get pretty dull. If I can come in the house of God, and rub up on some of you, listen to some of your testimonies, what God's brought you through, you know what that does for me? That sharpens my edge. Sure it does. See, I might come in here and go, I know people don't say stuff like this, I guess, but I do. I'm just honest and I'm trying to be real. But I don't always come in here, Miss Stephanie, with that tree, with that mountain moving faith. Oh, no. You can divide that mustard seed up and maybe get you a microscope. Or maybe the Hubble telescope. There you go. That's more like it. Cut that thing up to the point where you need a Hubble telescope. You might could find my faith in there somewhere. That Hubble telescope. You might could find it. Let me say something about that. How many of y'all know people's got mountain moving faith? How many of you know? You ever met anybody move a mountain? I never met nobody move a mountain. Could you imagine, Zach, if you had that kind of faith, what kind of an idiot we would be? We would be changing geography every week. I mean, you couldn't have a map. We would blow Google Maps plumb off the sinking internet. I'm telling you, man. I mean, I don't like that mountain right there. I'm telling you, I have to climb in mountains a lot of times to get up there where Matt's at. I'd move them stinking mountains, Mr. Stanley. Just had me a flat, straight path.
They'd have to go over there to Google Maps and move all them satellites in outer space and just fix all that. Listen, folks, I don't need mountain moving faith. I don't need to move a mountain. But I'll tell you what, there's been some mountains in my life, spiritually speaking. And I ain't always had the faith, Zach, to climb them mountains. I ain't always had the faith that Caleb and some of those men have had. Always had it. I ain't always had that faith of Gideon and all those. I'll tell you what you'll do if you'll come in here and tell me the truth about what Jesus done for you. I promise you that increases my faith. It helped me. That's why it's important. That's why it's important. I didn't say you need to come in here and brag on what you did. You need to come in here and brag on what Jesus did. I mean, sometimes God uses us to do some things, okay? It's okay to tell that because you got no telling who you might help. Sometimes we get weak. Sometimes we get dull. Sometimes we get low. And your testimony, what God done for others, man, God will do for me. He's not partial. No, friend, God will do it for me too. And I need to hear it. Amen. Amen. I don't think God was intending for us to move mountains. I believe he was trying to just get a little point across. I did know that old boy up there in West Virginia, Michael, that made a fool out of himself, they thought. Just old West Virginia mountain boy. And he told the church that if we had faith in that mustard seed. And man, he took that literal and went out there and told us, I'm going to pray God move that mountain off behind our church. A big old mountain up there in West Virginia stood behind his church. And man, he stuck with it. Congregation just kind of let it go. But that old boy, he stuck with it, Miss Debbie. He believed that. And it wasn't long before he became a laughing stock in his own congregation. They started making fun of him because, man, God ain't going to move that mountain. Are you kidding me? And they said about 6 years later, he just kept on with it. Not just laughing stock of his church, the whole community laughing in the storm. Now, I thought he was a nut. Half his congregation done left. They said about 6 years later, here come a big old construction crew. They're going to build an interstate through there. They said they started blowing up that mountain and hauling it off in dump trucks and taking them earth movers and tearing that thing down. He said that boy, that old preacher climbed up in that pulpit and said, I wish y'all would walk out behind his church and tell me where that mountain is. He said, God, they said, preacher, that wasn't God, that the State Department moved it. He said, I didn't tell God how to move it. I just asked God to move it. I'm telling you, church, God moved that mountain for that old boy. Amen. I believe I'm fine. The mountain ain't there. Well, then David said, I want to see your glory. He said, I want to see your power. Then I want to see your glory. Ain't that a blessing? What is that glory? I want to see your presence, God. I'm out here in a place where there ain't no God. God, if I could see you, if I could just get a little glimpse. God, if you would just let me see your hinder parts. Lord, would you just pass by my way? Lord, be all right if you cover my face, but Lord, if I could just get a glimpse of your glory. Lord, if I could just touch the hem of your garment. Oh, if I could just get a little glimpse of you today, God, it'll help me, Lord, make it through this wilderness. I'm telling you, friend, if you're ever going to get to God, you're going to need him to pass by. I promise you that. It takes the presence of God. David said this. What did he say? Look at there, verse number 2. I told you he was in there. He said, to see thy power and thy glory. So as I have seen in thy sanctuary. Now, where in the name of God do you think David had seen the glory of God? He was down there at the church house. He was down there at church and he seen God pass by. I like that. Amen. You know what that did for him, Miss Holly? Well, he was in church and he seen God pass by. Boy, when he did get in that wilderness place, he was able to go back to that church and say, boy, I remember sitting there that day and God passed by. Lord, I need to see you like I saw you that day down at the house of God. I need to see you pass by, Lord. You know what's so important around here, ladies and gentlemen? It's important to have a church that Jesus can come by and visit. Huh? Just think of it sort of like this. What if we pray and ask God, God, would you come by? Well, I don't even want him to come by. I want him to just make his abode here. I want us to be his visitor. He's not my visitor. This is the house of God. I want him to be at home right here. And I want us to be his visitor. But I want Jesus to be able to come by here and take a peek in this place and be pleased with what he sees. Right? That's right. Can I tell you something, ladies and gentlemen? One of the reasons why I'm so hard on sin is because God and sin don't coexist. God don't hang out with sin.
It's going to be one or the other. We're either going to get the sin out and have God, or we're just going to live in our sin and God's just going to leave. Miss Stephanie, I don't care if it's you as my wife. I'm not going to stand by and just be quiet about you living in sin. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do that. Amber told me that you were so rotten. She said she needs to get right. Pastor, your wife needs to get right. Hey, let me bring some of this back to your remembrance. I like to try to be practical. Miss Holly, we've been in some pretty good services, huh? We've been pretty high. We've been in some pretty high services. Baby, we've been in some good services. Zach, we've seen the Lord pass by. I mean, been blessed to be able to be in some places where Jesus has passed by. I will never in my life forget that Thursday night in the Audie Baptist Church when I had my hind end propped up on the back of that pew. And I seen the glory of God coming through that congregation. Never forget that. I'll never forget it. I'll never forget some of them services I've been in, some of them camp meetings. I'll never forget being up there in LJ and watching God come through that. Hey, listen, ladies and gentlemen. We was up there on top of that mountain in LJ and God passed by and there was a woman come from about 5 miles down the road. She said, That Bible is that. That's what she said. She said that preacher is echoing through them hills. She said, I'm sitting down the road. She said, I can hear what that preacher's saying. She come up and said, I want to get born again. Woman, I said, well, I've seen God. I seen old brother Jay Glass sit right over here. I seen brother Jay Glass sitting right over here in that meeting. And I seen God's glory pass through that congregation. And next week, Miss Debbie, J.E. Glass, you can go to Faith Baptist Camp and check it this November. If he'll be there, he'll tell you. I seen the glory of God pass in that thing. And Brother J.E. Glass, the next week, was supposed to go to the doctor, Eric, and have open heart surgery. Mm-hmm. God passed through there and healed that old man of God. Brother J.E. Glass just said, hey, folks, I want to tell you something. He said, God just come through them hills and passed right through this church, right through here. He said, God just touched my heart. He said, I'm healed. I can tell God healed me. Because we're Baptists, we made Brother Glass go back to the doctor. We didn't believe God. We just made him go back to the doctor. Went back to the doctor. They told him, said, you got a heart? Look, young man, there ain't nothing wrong with your heart. You're in good shape. I seen old Brother Glass about a year or two ago over at Faith Baptist Camp. I walked up to him. She said, Brother Glass, I said, you still taking them baby aspirins? He said, son, I'm still taking them. I'm still good. Amen. He said, it's still good. God's still healing him. Amen. Good. You say, what are you talking about? Michael, I was up there in Black Creek, and I ain't seen a service like this in a long, long, long time. I told you, Daddy, that Friday morning service, this last camp meeting up there in Black Creek, you know what that was? You know what happened in Black Creek on Friday morning? God in His glory showed up. The glory of God come in that place. And just encamped around, that was the glory of God. That was that divine presence. Jesus come in the midst of the congregation and sat down with us. And I seen the man of God say, everybody get out of the church. Nobody come in here. We're going to close it off. Nobody come in here. God's visiting with us today. We don't want to do anything to grieve God. So just stay outside of the sanctuary. Do whatever you got to do out there. But God's in here. That was the glory of God. Help people when you get help. You know what we need around here? We need God to pass by. That's right. Isn't it amazing that it took God all week for people to confess and people to pray and people to get right and people hitting on altar, people crawling off in the woods, people just begging God. Finally on Friday morning, God said, I'm going to visit with that crowd. He passed by and smiled on us. You understand? God smiled on us. If you could have heard with them good spiritual ears, you would have heard God singing a song over the people of God. God was rejoicing over us, was singing. Amen. Amen. God did things in a service like that that you'll never get away from in all your life. This is what David's saying. David said, I've been in them services. God, I'm in a bad place right now. If you could pass by me one more time like that, dear God, I'll make it through this thing. I'll be all right. God, I'm just, you know what David started doing? Because Miss Stephanie, physically, he couldn't get to where God was. David started thinking about all the times that God had visited with him. You know what it did, Miss Holly? Spiritually, mentally, emotionally started taking him closer to God. David started drawing up to God with his memory, and he started drawing up to God with his emotions and with everything that was within him, and he started just drawing real close to God. It's amazing, ladies and gentlemen. I'm going to tell you, if we're going to ever get to him, we're going to need the glory of God. You're going to have to reach back and maybe touch on some of this stuff where God's moved in your life and helped you. I'm trying to be done. What time is it? I'm trying to go eat. I'll give you a couple of thoughts and I'm done. Michael, there's been times, and I would trade it, and I believe I mean this. I might be wrong, but I believe I mean this with all my heart. There's been times, Miss Stephanie, where I have entered into my closet, that secret place, and I've prayed. And there's been times, and I know this is probably bad terminology, and let me just say it without saying bad terminology. Miss Stephanie, there's been times where I got in that secret place, God let me in the most holy place. There's been times, Miss Hannah, where I've went in my secret place and God's opened the door in my secret place. And I'm talking about Jesus walked in and sat down with me while I was praying. If you ain't never experienced that, I don't expect you to understand it, but don't bump it until you experience it, I promise you. I ain't talking about charismatic. I'm talking about the glory of God. I'm talking about Miss Holly to the point to where I've been so scared in my secret place where I've literally propped chairs up underneath the door handle so that the door couldn't open because I knew people was trying to come in. And Zach, I can remember the day I had a chair propped up, and I was in my secret place. I propped that chair up underneath the door because I didn't want nobody, I was scared, vulnerable on my knees with my eyes closed and my back turned. Had that chair. I'm telling you, it didn't matter if he'd come through the door. Jesus walked up through there. He came to sit down with me. Ladies and gentlemen, the glory of God got in there. I got up off my knees. I set a chair for him and I set a chair for me. And there I sat with him and he with me. The glory of God. Miss Holly, I can't begin to tell you, and I won't because it's too personal and private, but what God did for me in those times in that secret place was some of the most valuable things. I wouldn't put a price tag on it. I wouldn't take all the money in the world for what God did for me in those days.
Talking about getting in His glory.
I've been sitting in my study before. Just sitting down there with a wonderful word. Before I knew it, there wasn't no big quartet singing. There wasn't no strobe lights flashing. There wasn't no big crowd. It was just me and God. And I sit there and God has made himself known to me and his glory has come into my study. And I'm telling you, Zach, I have got plumb beside myself in the glory of God, just me and him in that book.
Couldn't tell you the times. And it's hard today because of the ungodliness that we've got to kind of get through.
But if you can find you some good singing, if you can find you a good CD of some godly people that honor God in their life away from a microphone, get you a good godly gospel CD. A good local church, a good local group that's in church three times a week and then revivals and get their CD. Throw it in your car. You wouldn't believe the times I put them in the car. Rode down the road in my car, Miss Shepherd, and throw that old CD in there and hear a good old song. And I mean Jesus began to smile because his name has been glorified and magnified. And man, I'm telling you, it's been times riding down the road, y'all, it's got foggy in my car. I'm telling you, the tears start flowing. You get in there and stop slobbering, snot, slinging. And I mean, man, you get to praising God and his glory just fills the car. And I mean, man, you look over the side of you and people's looking at you like you've lost your mind or an alien. I don't care. Mama, I can remember some of the times I broke down I-295 coming home from Jacksonville, Florida. God sitting in the car with me. Miss Stephanie, I can remember heading out there to Mississippi, leaving home on a Christmas and heading down that long road to Mississippi. And I said, God, I was being honest, why do I have to go to Mississippi? Why do I have to leave my family? Why do I have to leave? Why do I have to make the sacrifices? Can I tell you something, Zach? The glory of God sitting in that old man's van. She's sitting in the passenger seat. I'm sitting in the driver's seat. And God come and sit up between us. I'm telling you, Steve, he put his arm around me and he told me some things. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, I will never get up. Never. Never get up. Son, you talking about getting to Mississippi? I couldn't wait. I was so encouraged and so happy. Say, we talked about what God does in His glory, son.
God was waiting for me in Mississippi, ladies and gentlemen. You know what helped me draw nigh to Him? You know what helped me get to where God was for me in my life? Him visiting with me. Him sitting beside of me. Him walking in the prayer closet. That's right, friend. It's exactly right. Can I tell you something? And I'm done. I promise I'm done. And I'm going to probably take this out of context, but I'm saying it out of a pure heart. David said, my heart is fixed.
And I know what that means. I know that, you know, that his heart was set. It's like a pole, this light pole out here. Y'all go out here, all y'all want to, don't shake that pole. That pole ain't going nowhere. That's where David was in God. He was fixed. He was settled. But I heard a junkie say one time, he said, my heart is fixed on God. He said, man, I've chased fixes all my life. He said, finally, I got my heart fixed. You know what I'm trying to say, Mr. Steve? If you ever do meet Him, if you ever do find His, if you ever do come in contact with Him, if you ever do draw nigh to Him and He draws nigh to you, if He ever does show His, shed His glory about you, if He ever does give you a little bit of that water and create thirst, I'm going to tell you something, it's addictive. You'll never be happy until you're right back there. I'm telling you, friend, I can pray, and I'm telling you, when I go pray, listen to me, every time I go pray, I pray with that desire, that anticipation, that thirst, that God's going to roll that curtain back and let me in that most holy place. There's something inside of me because I've been there before. That God, this should be the time when God meets with me again. And I never do read my Bible without thinking, why need God to visit with me? I ride down the road and listen to a gospel song. I'm expecting God to show up and be with me because I'm so addicted to it. Amen. I'm addicted to, Paul said he was addicted to the gospel. I'm addicted to God, and ladies and gentlemen, if you ever do draw nigh to Him, He draws nigh to you, He'll put an addiction in there for Him. That's right. Things of this world, old songwriter said, grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. Amen. Father, we thank You for this day. Lord, we'll try to pick back up on some fallen verses here. After we take a break, God, I pray that You'd bless the food, bless each and every heart, God, that's here today. Help us, Lord, more than anything in this world to draw nigh to You. Help us, oh God, to seek You with our whole heart. Lord Jesus' name we pray. Amen.